May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. How could anyone believe that these words are true? These impossible promises of Jeremiah for a new covenant, a new intimate relationship with God, for a law joyfully taken to heart, and forgiveness, forgiveness that will make all things new. Would you have believed it if you had lived through the anguish of an invasion, through the destruction of your cities and towns? If all you had left was rubble, broken walls, starving children wandering the streets, stick-thin men and women hiding deep in windowless rooms, hoping to escape injury or death. In Jeremiah's day, the people of Judah were living a story that has been repeated again and again in history. Kabul, Baghdad, Gaza, Damascus, and now Ghouta. Indigenous peoples have lived it, and Palestinians. We've seen the ruined, dusty cities full only of fear. We've seen the people traumatized and broken, their world destroyed. The people of Judah were living this. Could they hear these words of promise? Through the tears and laments, the wailing over lost children, and anger at the God who had betrayed them, could they possibly hear these words of hope? Maybe not. Trauma can make hearing hard. Despair can make hope difficult. Betrayal can make trust impossible. Maybe the people would not have believed. And what about God? Could God have believed these words? God, whose anguish over this people is woven like a river of tears throughout the book of Jeremiah. God, who said things like, "I thought that I would set you among my children and give you a pleasant land, the most beautiful heritage of all the nations. And I thought you would call me my father and would not turn from following me. Instead, as a faithless spouse walks out, so you have been faithless to me, O house of Israel." Can you hear the pathos and longing in these words? "I had hoped," says God, "for a great marriage, for joyful children and love and fulfillment, and instead, betrayal, deceit, and brokenness." Again and again in Jeremiah, God's broken heart speaks words of sorrow and bewildered anguish over the loss of hope, the loss of trust that Israel's injustice has brought about. You see, God had hoped that this people would be different, that this community, at least, would be a place where the vulnerable were cared for, where the stranger was welcomed, where there would be no poor, but instead, bloodshed and injustice. No wonder God felt sorrow and anguish. No wonder even the words of anger and judgment are rooted in sorrow, this grief. For grief is always what God's side of judgment looks like. God's judgment is always rooted in grief in this story. From God's grief before the flood, to God's grief during the exile, to Jesus' tears and grief over Jerusalem, to the grief that Jesus feels in our gospel reading today when he says that his soul is troubled. Judgment is always the result of deep grief. And God's grief is so deep over God's people that God's tears, Jeremiah tells us, are like a spring of water, a fountain, weeping day and night. And he says this not once, but twice, that God's tears are like a fountain. Imagine God sobbing through the night. God, red-eyed from weeping. God mourning deeply for the betrayal and hurt of God's people. Have you ever cried like that over betrayal? Over the death of hope? Over the ending of what you thought would be life-giving and joyful and deeply fulfilling? Imagine then the resolve that it took for God to speak these words of hope. Imagine how difficult it would be to say, I want to make those promises again. I want to make a new covenant. I want to get married to you again. I want to give it another shot, give you another chance, take you back in spite of it all. Really, hasn't God learned anything? Apparently not. For God, even in the midst of promising something new, remembers. God admits to what happened, but is determined that the past will not limit the future. God wills always for a new future for life, in spite of what has come before. And so, God says, out of a place of wounded faithfulness, this won't be like that last covenant, the one that you broke. No, this one is going to be different. I know what happened, and I want to give it another shot, a different chance. And what is the difference? Well, first of all, remember that law that I gave you? The law that was supposed to show everyone what it looks like when a community lives as if God actually dwells with them? The law that was supposed to demonstrate what happens when the poor are cared for and the strangers are welcomed, when the vulnerable are held in the care of community. Do you remember that law? I hope some of you do. I know it was read from this pulpit just 2 weeks ago. Well, that law was to shape a community different from the other nations, a law of welcome, care, and justice. That law, says God, will be written on your heart, will now become your deepest desire, your heart's desire, because you will know me so intimately that I will be your beloved, and your strongest hope will be to live into my kingdom, into my vision for the world. We will be so close, says God, that you will only want me, and I will only want you, and we will both only want forgiveness and healing for the brokenness and sin of the past. We will both only want a chance to start over, to begin our lives again together. And it is this last desire that makes these words finally words that can be believed. There are no cheap promises here, no empty words of optimism that promise something better with no knowledge or understanding of exactly how deep the darkness is. God says this, I will forgive you. Forgiveness. The word holds a past, a history, an entire past of betrayal, of sin and brokenness, because there's no need for forgiveness where there is no betrayal or hurt or injustice. I know how bad it is, says God, and I offer forgiveness. But the word forgiveness also holds a present of sorrow and grief. For there is only forgiveness when violence is carried rather than returned, where hurt is absorbed rather than flung back. There is only forgiveness when you decide not to hit back. There's only forgiveness when you decide to hold the pain, to bear the pain of brokenness yourself, rather then retaliate. The sorrow that troubled Jesus' soul in today's gospel reading, the tears that Jesus offered up, according to the writer of the Hebrews, are all rooted in this deep desire to offer forgiveness rather than retaliation. The word forgiveness also holds a future of possibility, our only hope for newness. For God's promise of forgiveness is rooted in God's deep desire, God's yearning for a new future with us. A future not shaped by our past. God only wants, has only ever wanted, a people who will live as if the kingdom is on earth, as it is in heaven. And God is willing to forgive again and again and again if it means that someday, we might actually live into that kingdom and claim God's deep love for us and the world. So today is the fifth Sunday of Lent. As we walk with Jesus closer to the cross, we know that Jeremiah's story is being lived again. For our betrayal, sin, and injustice will carry Jesus to the cross. God's grief and sorrow will be carried by Jesus to the cross. And God's love and forgiveness will carry Jesus on the cross so that new life may come. And as we walk that path with Jesus, it will be hard to believe that these promises are true. For the path that we walk is a Lenten path. It is a path through the wilderness. It is the path walked by the Rohingya people away from their homes. It is the path walked by indigenous communities through the trauma inflicted by residential schools. It is the path walked by our Black brothers and sisters pulled over just for being Black. It is a path walked by those in our midst struggling with addictions and trauma and homelessness. And it is a path walked by all of us, lamenting and grieving the brokenness in our lives and the lives around us. How can Jeremiah's promises be true in the face of such overwhelming pain? Well, maybe that's just the wrong question. Maybe it's not about us and our belief. Maybe we are just called to walk towards those promises and leave the rest up to the tear-stained God who forgives us and walks the path with us.